The Mausoleum Club, written by James Hendry and Ian Brown, starring Stephen Moore, Mark Farmer, and Ron Pember. The final episode, Bleak Horse.
So, General Cheeseman, Trevor, Sir Courtney Massingbird, and Dr. Julius Fenn. All are brought to book. That great book whereto we must all be brought. Eventually.
So you are content?
Content? Can you not count? A year and a day ago I sent you to deal justice to 5 enemies of society. You have given me 4.
Ah, Felch. Breakfast, where is it?
Oh, forgive me, sir. I was arranging the transport.
Transport? For whom?
I had understood, sir, that you would be leaving soon.
Nobody is leaving until I am assured that Mr. Joshua Farley, the industrial murderer, is dead. If I am not, Inspector Cadbury of the Yard will read of your club's crimes this very morning.
Not Inspector Cadbury.
I'm afraid, sir. Now then, who has the 5th report?
I, sir. Timothy Tapperton at your service.
And give your account, sir, and may brevity be your watchword.
Very good, sir. There once lived in a sequestered part of the county of Kent one Mrs. John Tapperton, a good wife who, her husband having purchased a small farm near Tunbridge Wells, gave birth to 8 fine daughters and 9 strapping sons. Of the latter, the 7th was, after a not undistinguished career at law, destined to be the father of your humble narrator.
God's teeth, get on with it!
But I wish to present a full picture of my beginnings, that the foreground may be illumined and offset by the broader details.
Please, brevity. We have but half an hour before... We have but half an hour.
Oh, very well. Farley was dead, to begin with. Farley, that Midas among misers, that Croesus among cheese parers, whose meanness was as famous in Limehouse as Farley's rope was renowned throughout the empire. A man so parsimonious he made his clothes from hemp, for hemp could be bought wholesale, was dead. Farley had foreclosed his last foreclosure, cheated his last cheat, for Farley was dead. Yes, I had been sent to kill Farley, and Farley was already dead.
Yes, I think we've got the idea.
Yeah, but wait, it is not as simple as that. Before this was disclosed to me, that he was dead, I went, on your orders, sir, straight away to Quilly's Wharf Limehouse and the rope manufactory of Mr. Joshua Farley. Excuse me?
What?
I'm looking for Mr. Farley.
Why?
I wish to make his portrait.
Ah, and artist, eh? Where's your easel?
Ah, I need no easel. Look.
Oh, and photographist.
That's right. Now, keep still, little chap.
What are you doing?
Taking your picture. I am keen to record every aspect of the modern industrial scene, even the very dirty ones. Now, look spiritually impoverished.
Ah, me eyes.
Now, where's Mr. Farley? I wish to be done with him quickly.
Then you'll be needing a spiritualist.
Eh?
Mr. Farley passed away, but 3 days gone.
No.
But don't worry, it's all been cleared up.
What has?
The mess. And most horrible occurrence indeed, my friend. But buy me a tankard of half and half, and I might relate you the details.
What exceptional good fortune, I thought then. Not only was Farley dead, so making my murderous mission redundant, but here, in this ragamuffinly street arab, I had found the very perfect subject for my twin preoccupations. Social improvement and... photography.
Morning, Dipper. What can I get you?
Pint of the usual, please, Doxy.
No.
Here. That's not my usual.
No, it's mine. Cheers.
Don't thank me. This gentleman's buying, and I'll have the same.
Righto.
And I'll have a...
Oh, a most unnatural happenstance it was, Mr. Farley's death. One night, alone in his chamber, he suddenly burst into flames.
Good Lord, how convenient. I mean, how queer. Barman, may I have a...
This is the funny thing, sir. Seeing as he was too mean to have any sort of lamp or fire, he must have just burst into flames by himself.
Really?
Spontaneous combustion, the crowner called it.
Aha. I'll have a pint.
And all that was found in the morning, sir, was two blackened leg stumps burnt off at the knees. Horrible, as I say. All charred and blistered they was, still wearing the stockings they went to bed in.
Yes, a pint of half and half, please, Noggsy.
Oh, thanks very much, sir. All that talking's fair past me throat.
But what a terrible thing to happen.
Well, no one much grieved about his passing. Not a living soul. Unless you believe as animals have souls.
Animals?
Yeah. The only creature to mourn after him was his old work horse Humbug. And he was only upset because Farley had the key to the A-ship.
You can see him now, sir. A ghostly grey nag wandering the streets with a face as long as a coffee nail. How interesting. Noggsy, a pint of half and half.
Oh, thanks very much, sir.
Four pints of
half and half at threepence three farthing. That's 1 and 6.
Ah, very well. Oh, I seem to have mislaid my wallet. Dipper, could you possibly lend me... Oh, Dipper?
Of the loquacious tyke there was no sign. Doubtless he'd been called away to look after his sick mother and his 7 starving siblings. Pausing only to wash up 3 beer mugs and a quantity of pie dishes, I stepped unblinking into the yellowing limehouse afternoon.
Here, mister, what's in your bag?
Ah, more urchins. Hold still, lads, while I set up the apparatus.
All right, mister, but it'll cost you.
Look, he's Humbug.
Yeah, get away.
Go away.
Leave a brick at him.
No, wait, this is most fascinating. Hold still, Humbug.
The occasion for my delight will be readily understood by those of you who follow the turf. It has long been debated along the white rail whether the hooves of a galloping horse all leave the ground at the same time, or whether at least one hoof is always in contact with the sod.
Oh, really?
And now I, a keen experimenter in the science of photography, had an opportunity to settle this matter once and for good.
Good Lord, man, your capacity for digression leaves me weak. What has this to do with the death of Farley?
Much so. Sir, as you will shortly gather.
Hold still, Humbug! Oh, it's galloping. Hold still while I change the plate. Humbug! Humbug, come back!
So the opportunity had come and gone. But there would come another, I mused, as I spent the next day making photographs in the area of Limehouse, adopting urchins, and in general improving those parts of society too unsightly to photograph. The horse was known to haunt the district, and it was only a matter of time before...
You won't escape this time. Hold there! Humbug!
Go, you clay brain. I've dropped me bottle of 14 penny. Go, it's the top.
Dipper, my young companion. Are you hurt?
Oh, don't go to the police, Gav. Please, I'll give you back every penny.
You're concussed, poor lad. Come with me to my garret.
The young man had been sufficiently weakened with poverty for me to conduct him with ease to my Whitechapel lodgings. I was loath to have his young death on my conscience, though it would make an excellent tableau. Besides, I was eager to enhance the scallywag's moral well-being by exposing him to the uplifting qualities of art.
And this is one I took in Leatherhead, depicting the new town hall.
I can't see nothing.
It's all blurred. Yes, I'm attempting to emulate the style of the French Impressionist movement.
Oh, yeah?
And this one, if you recall, is the portrait I made of you in the rope factory.
Well, how do you know it's me? You've missed me head off.
Well, that's deliberate, of course.
Yeah?
Yes, I'm constantly trying to push back the boundaries of this new field.
Are you sure?
Yes, yes. Now, look at this one. It shows my good friend, the Punch cartoonist Ziz, sketching a servant.
And what's that great white thing looming in front of him? Looks like a ghost.
No, that is my thumb. I purposely included it, lest the spectator forget that this is a photograph and not the real thing.
Well, there's not much chance of that, Gov. Not with your pictures.
Well, as I say, it is a new field.
Well, I'll say, where there's fields, there's cows flock.
I'm sorry?
And what's this?
Ah, now, this is the photograph I made yesterday of the late Mr. Farley's horse, Humbug. It will demonstrate once and for all whether a galloping horse keeps all its hooves on the ground. There we are, Dipper. What do you reckon?
All right, and it's a shame you couldn't fit his legs in the picture.
Ah, yes, well, as I said, this area of research is highly experimental.
Lord, love a pony, Governor. Look.
Yes, the tree coming out of his head is a deliberate emulation.
No, no, not that. Beside the pillar box.
I followed the line of the ragamuffin's filth-encrusted digit, And there, on the far side of the highway, stood the faint, shadowy figure of a man.
It's Mr. Farley.
Farley? But Farley is dead.
Gaw. And haunted photograph.
But this is perfectly splendid, Dipper. This must be the first photographic record of a visit from beyond the veil. Just think what an exhibition of such spiritualist plates would do for my reputation in society.
It'd be clinking off to damage it.
I shall take some more this very night. Now, let me see. The time now is... that's queer. Where's my watch? Dipper, have you seen my... Dipper?
Dipper?
No doubt my young charge had hurried off to buy more gin for some wastrel relative. But I had work to do. As a veteran of many psychical investigations, I well knew that a spirit is most inclined to revisit that place wherein he met his death.
Oh, stuff and nonsense.
You scoff, sirs. But any of those who have no experience of the other side would treat such matters so lightly.
Then I suppose you have such experience, sir.
Mr. Templeton, pray continue.
Thank you. That night, I found myself in Mr. Farley's former abode, where his landlady showed me his tawdry quarters.
By my pies and pastries, Mr. Templeton, this is a thick gravy indeed. Do you know what time it is?
I'm afraid not, Mrs. Quiver. You see, I've lost my...
Oh, will you not come back in the morning?
No, it must be at night. Have a shilling.
Oh, Lord. Thank you, sir. This is the room where it happened.
How the smell of burning lingers.
You should have been here 4 nights ago. It stank like a tray of pikelets been left on the hob. And I found him, sir. Or rather what was left of him. 2 shin bones and a pair of striped bed socks.
Oh, there's a florin for you.
Oh, thanks very much.
With Mrs. Quiver's help, the psychic camera was speedily erected. It was near midnight, and could only be a matter of moments before the spirit of Joshua Farley walked abroad. 2 hours later...
Apples and aspic, Mr. Templeton. My leg's fair gone to sleep. Besides, it don't seem proper. Not proper at all. Some things are best left untouched.
Hush, Mrs. Quiver. Do you not feel that sudden chill?
Oh, yes.
This is it, Mrs. Quiver. Oh. Hold up the powder bar.
Oh.
Stop shaking or spilling the powder.
Mr. Timothy Templeton.
Now.
Oh, me eyes. Seize it, constable. Don't let him get away.
Yes, gentlemen. It was the constabulary in the persons of Sergeant Bull and Constable Dribblespout who had...
Dribblespout?
Yes. See here, Mr. Templeton, to come across a lady called Mrs. Quiver might just seem plausible, but Constable Dribblespout smacks of invention.
Well, it's just that Mrs. Banks and Constable Thompson didn't seem to have the right feel to them.
Well, proceed.
Shut the door, Constable Dribblespout. You're letting the cold air in.
What else, Sergeant?
Mr. Templeton, can you explain what you are doing in the late abode of the deceased?
Why, of course, Sergeant. I was looking... For a ghost.
Indeed. Are you sure you weren't looking for this?
A handkerchief? Why would I be looking for a handkerchief?
Well, sir, it is yours.
How do you know that? By a monogram, sir.
Oh, but come now, any gentleman may share the same initials as another.
Really? Timothy, Albert, Thomas, Frederick, Septimus, Joseph, Wilberforce, Shaftesbury, Patricia, Templeton.
But where did you find it?
We found it but 2 days ago. In this very room.
But I was never in this room in my life before tonight.
Well, this kerchief tells a different story. Aye, Dribblespout?
Oh, thank you very much, sir.
No! That's the Queen's evidence!
Oh, sorry.
This was a most wretched happenstance. The finding of this handkerchief focused the all-seeing lens of Scotland Yard upon my person. How ironic. I had come to murder this ropemaker Farley only to find him already dead, and now found myself implicated in his murder. Still, suspicion is not evidence, and the police were constrained to release me into the smut hazy dawn. But as I made my way homeward, I saw, or thought I saw, vanishing into an ill-lit shop doorway, a shadowy figure clad from head to foot in hemp.
Hi! Who's there? Hello!
Talking to yourself, Governor.
Dipper!
Hello. Hey, off for soap.
Dipper, did you see that man in the doorway?
No.
You must help me. I'm being followed. I think it's the police.
The knockers? God, Blazes, what you been doing?
Nothing.
Nothing? I once got 6 months for doing that. You want to be careful.
Indeed. Listen, do you know a place where I can lie covey for a few days, just until I can find out who is blackguarding me?
Let me cogitate. Aha. I know just a place. Nah, perhaps not.
Please take me there. Anywhere will do, be it the lowest, vilest den of insalubrity and vice.
Don't worry, Governor. It is.
The rambling collection of riverside shacks whither the young mudlark brought me was indeed the blackest pit of degradation, teeming with all manner of spuds, dollywicks, and cleaver men. But none of these had fallen so far as this man-made Acheron's wretchedest denizens, whose blank eyes told of lost souls wandering adrift on the purple clouds of the poppy. Oh, vicious opium! The place induced in me a hideous despair. I had left my camera behind.
Hold up, lads. It's the Dipper.
What you got, Dipper? A customer?
No, lads. This gent will be staying with us. What? For a bit.
What is this place?
An alchemist's laboratory, sir, where base elements are turned into gold.
But I don't understand. What are all these watches, purses, umbrellas?
Well, take this watch, sir. An ordinary watch, to be sure, but passed through the right hands will become half a sovereign.
Just a moment. That watch.
What about it?
It's very similar to the one I just lost.
Well, it's yours for a finny, and not a word to the knockers.
Well, come along there, Governor. You look like you could do with a kit. There's your cot.
But there's somebody in it.
That's all right. That's the broker, sir. He won't mind. Sleep well.
I perched gingerly on the edge of the bed, which was occupied by a whey-faced wreck with drooping lids and pinpoint pupils, but whose dress and manner spoke of respectable employment.
Wake me up at Surbiton. I'm already late for a wigging.
Could you move over?
Yes, I know it's first class. I've got a season, damn it.
I say, sir, you're raving.
It's a tragedy.
Yes, indeed it is, sir.
Every week I come here hoping to be wafted to Elysium or to trip the slopes of Ida with the muses. What do I dream of? The railways.
Is this place safe?
It is, since Tommy Queerfeet disappeared.
Tommy Queerfeet?
He used to be the governor here, a scrawny goat who used to wear frightful striped bed socks.
But surely that's not his real name.
Indeed, not, sir. He was called Tommy Queerfeet because he had queer feet.
Oh, I see.
Hence the bed socks. He'd sell his own grandma for half a crown.
Really?
What do you think of her? Quite a bargain, huh?
Hello, hello.
Good morning, madam. Yes, indeed. Yes. Mr. Tommy Queerfeet, what happened to him?
Well, he was like a father to these boys.
Yes, always beating them and stealing their money.
Then one day he went out the door and never came back.
Oh.
Of all the thieves' kitchens in London, he was the master chef.
So where is he now?
Who cares? Doubtless being roasted by the greatest chef of them all.
Oh no!
What?
I can't find my ticket.
Though the air in that room was brown and smoky, my predicament at least was becoming clear. The artful Dipper had evidently stepped into Tommy Queerfeet's queer shoes, and of that ragged battalion was now the ragged general. That watch, I now knew, was mine, and I also knew by what agency my handkerchief had made its progress from my pocket to Mr. Farley's residence. I decided to wait no longer. I had no wish to discover whether the Dipper would emulate his mentor in every respect.
He's in here, Sergeant.
Thanks, Dipper. Here's a florin.
We said half a crown.
Did we? Oh, fancy. Dribble spout.
Yes, sir.
You know what to do?
Yes, sir. Timothy, Albert, Thomas, Frederick, Septimus, Joseph, Wilberforce, Shaftesbury, Patricia, Tapperton.
Patricia?
You are charged with the murder of Joshua Susan Farley on the 24th of September of this year.
But
yes?
I didn't know the man. Why should I want to kill him?
We
know only too well why, sir.
Well, then perhaps you will enlighten me, Sergeant.
Certainly, sir. Mr. Farley's last will and testament was read this morning, and it seems that you, sir, are named therein as the sole beneficiary.
Oh, but that's impossible. I never... Listen to me. By some demonic means, I know not which, the true murderer has altered Farley's will. You're being wrong-footed.
The law does not concern itself with demons. It's the Paddington Frisk for you. Trouble's part, your cuffs.
Yeah, I'm sorry, sir. I haven't got an anky.
No, you fool. I'm in... Oh, my stars! I'm bunked!
You will have deduced, gentlemen, as I did, that the approaching hoofbeats signaled the arrival beneath the window of Humbug. A simple matter it was to calculate the precise velocity and angle that would carry me through the upper window and directly and firmly onto the horse's back.
Hey, what? No, come back, you stupid animal! Come back!
I sped after the receding fetlocks with what celerity I could muster. Up streets, down steps, over hedges, through restaurants.
Ah, my Saveloys!
I realized now that the benighted horse wished me to follow it. And hoping it would lead me to the solution of the mystery, I pursued the nag, up alleys, over bridges, through parlors and card games, into churches.
Ah, no pets on Thursday, please.
Till at last the forlorn horse mounted the spiral staircase leading to the belfry of St. George in the East, Limehouse.
Ha! Timothy, Albert, Thomas. Oh, Mr. Templeton, you are under arrest for the murder of Joshua Farley.
Of course, Sergeant, but hadn't you better arrest this man as well?
Who's he?
Why, Joshua Farley.
Damn you, Templeton!
But I've seen Farley's body. Or at least I've seen the legs.
The legs, as I think Mr. Farley will confirm, are those of Mr. Thomas Queerfeet, who, as was well known, clad his feet in distinctive striped bedsocks to conceal his eponymous deformity.
Oh.
Damn you, Templeton, and damn that wretched horse! Bah! Humbug!
You see, gentlemen, Mr. Farley had by some means, I don't know what, been forewarned of my mission to dispatch him to eternity. And how better to evade one's murder than by murdering oneself in advance? It was he who had altered his own will in my favor and bought my handkerchief from Dipper so that all evidence pointed to my guilt.
Ingenious.
I must make a note of that.
But that was not the end of it.
Joshua Farley, I arrest you for the murder of Thomas Queerfeet.
Arrest me? Not while I still have one of these. Stand aside.
I engaged the revenant, and there was a bitter struggle between the two of
you
us. Which continued. Farley got the upper hand. But I regained the advantage.
Finally, he teetered high over Limehouse on the outer ledge of St. George's Spire.
Yes?
Yes.
Well, what happened then?
He was arrested and hanged for murder.
Yes,
hanged by the very rope that made his fortune. And of course, the will having quite legally been altered in my favour, of Farley's fortune, I am the sole beneficiary.
So, justice was done. And justice shall be done by us, I trust.
Justice? Justice. What does that mean?
We have fulfilled our side of the bargain. The Empire is rid of these five unnatural villains.
Her Majesty's loyal subjects shall sleep soundly abed.
Yet our sleep is still haunted by the shadow of the rope.
So it would appear.
The dossier, sir. The catalogue of our crimes that you promised to return to us once we had complied with your demands.
Let us have it.
I have your attorney send it at once, that we may put its loathsome pages to the flames.
Not as easy as that, you see. My attorney is not in the best of health, and has gone to Switzerland for 6 o'clock. I need spin it out no longer. I can now tell you, gentlemen, that the dossier
is not with my attorney.
Oh, then where?
Last night, before coming here, I placed it in the hands of my good friend, Inspector Cadbury of Scotland Yard.
Oh, and he did as you are.
You betrayer!
One does not honor bargains with murderers.
Inspector Cadbury of Scotland Yard.
Ah, Cadbury, are your men in place?
Yes, sir. The building is surrounded. No one must leave.
Then, this is the end.
Indeed, and now my revenge is complete.
Revenge?
Yes. We have spoken already of a young man who visited your club, a man called the Honorable Clarence Green.
Green? That young whelp who attempted to join our ranks unbidden?
Yes, and whom you murdered most foully for no more than curiosity.
But Clarence Green, he was but a worthless fop, a nuppence. What is he to you?
Gentlemen, I am Clarence Green.
Oh, it can't be!
Clarence Green is resting at the bottom of the Thames.
True enough. But his father, Lord Justice Clarence Green, stands before you.
Then all is explained. By setting outlaw against outlaw, you succeeded in destroying both.
Ah, yes, and thanks to my ingenuity, you have provided the means to your own end.
Damn you!
Oh, as my man is outside with my carriage, I leave you to the full rigor of the law, Inspector!
Thank you, sir. Good night.
So, Inspector, this is the end.
Yes, sir. No jury could fail to convict on the evidence of this dossier.
So, you will waste no time in doing your duty?
Of course not, sir. Here it is.
Thank you. Burn it, Templeton.
With pleasure. Oh, just one thing, sir.
Yes, Inspector.
I think I'm behind with my subscription.
Ooh. I think we'll waive it this time, Cadbury.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, now, what about a story? Archbishop.
The Fall of the Mausoleum Club, the final episode, Bleak Horse, was written by Ian Brown and James Hendry. Starring Barbara Atkinson, John Baddeley, Mark Farmer, Peter Howell, Stephen Moore, Lawrence Payne, Ron Pember, Stephen Rushbrook, Michael Ripper, John Sampson, Richard Tate, Joan Walker, and Bill Wallace. Music by Max Harris. The producer was Paul Spencer.
You know, Hobson, it'll be a cunning snake that gets the better of Lord Justice Green.
Oh, indeed, sir.
Oh, yes. Hobson, you missed the turning to Gray's Inn.
Yes, sir.
This is the way to the river.
Indeed, sir.
Hobson, just a minute. Who are you? Where are you taking me?
Haven't you guessed, sir?
But the door! What's the jig? Let me out!
No, sir.
Are you? Stop!